proposal. But first, another paramedic is under investigation for stealing narcotics. Prescription drug abuse is a serious problem in Nova Scotia, but are we getting the whole story? Amy Graves is an advocate for responsible use of prescription drugs after her brother Josh died of an overdose at a party in 2011, and Amy joins me this morning. Morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So, this was a note that you sent to us yesterday, that you obviously have some concerns about paramedics being under investigation for stealing narcotics. What's at the root of your concern here?
Well, the root of my concern is not the paramedics themselves. It's actually the people who are in power, like College of Physicians and Surgeons, who have repeatedly said that this is an issue that usually affects people who are drug seekers. Actually, Gus Grant was quoted in a Valley paper after the W5 special saying...
Okay, now, who is Gus Grant now?
Okay, Gus Grant is the head of College of Physicians and Surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the body that disciplines doctors for things such as, let's say, overprescribing of drugs or doing them in a non-responsible or prescribing them in a non-responsible fashion.
Yes.
He would be the ones to discipline those doctors.
Okay.
And he was quoted in a Valley paper saying that, sadly and extraordinarily, it's a very hard thing to measure. And he's talking about prescription drug abuse. He said the fact that it's hard to measure speaks to the fact that we're dealing with people who are largely disenfranchised, which I strongly disagree with. Many of the people suffering, as we have come to find out, are the EHS. The young man who was charged in Halifax for stealing the morphine and Valium, he was in med school at Dalhousie. Does that sound like someone who's disenfranchised? I don't think so. I think they're trying to do damage control and make it seem like it's only happening to the people who are drug seekers. And actually, Gus Grant was also quoted in the Chronicle Herald saying that the disease of addiction is constant, it's predictable, and it has nothing to do with the supply, which, again, I strongly disagree. Many of these people who start an addiction to opiates were prescribed by a doctor. They're not out on the corner looking for crack or coke. They never had an issue before they were issued a prescription.
Hmm. How do you feel about what the provincial government's actions have been so far on this? I know that Dave Wilson, who's the Minister of Health now, he was quoted in the same article that Gus Grant was. This goes back a little way. Actually, it was done around the time that the CTV was down doing a piece on it. He said that I can read the quote. It says, media attention around the death, and presumably the death in the Annapolis Valley of someone from a prescription overdose, media attention around the death heightens the misinformation that is out there. Do you think that there is a lot of misinformation being propagated by the media?
Not at all. I feel that the propaganda and misinformation is being shared by our government, College of Physicians and Surgeons, prescription monitoring, all the people that are trying to cover up their own mistakes. Until the general public, such as myself, John Monroe, Cheryl Jones-Vino, Glenn Levy, I can go on, the names of people who have been affected either by losing a loved one, becoming addicted themselves. If these people never came out and spoke about it, I really feel like the situation in the province would be even worse. And using Annapolis Valley, for example, before all the protesting in front of the detox, Mud Creek Medical, the Minister of Health's office, there was no reports, there was no talk of prescription drug abuse, and no treatment options. There was a wait list at Mud Creek that was the only option for opioid addiction treatment, and the wait list was at 300 or 400 people. After media attention and after pressure on the government, all of a sudden they throw $300,000 at Annapolis Valley Health for addiction treatment. And now there's a regulated clinic that's run by Annapolis Valley Health. If anything, I feel that the media attention has helped the situation. It's created awareness. And it has put those politicians and policymakers on the hot seat where they should be. It's it's their job.
Where are we now in terms of dealing with this problem in the province? I know that the government has said that they wanted to get serious about it and actually make some changes. Are you seeing the results of those changes? You mentioned the methadone clinic that they have in the Annapolis Valley now, but have prescription drug monitoring programs been instituted, do you think, in ways that are sufficient to actually deal with this issue?
Not at all. I mean, the methadone is a start, but it's definitely not the only answer, and we're attacking it in a reactive state by dishing out more methadone, more money to treat these addicts, but not dealing with the reason why they're becoming addicted. We just keep pumping out more and more addicts, and we get more resources, and they're used up again. There's a wait list. In Halifax, there was more resources given to Direction 180, and they still haven't got rid of their wait list. So what does the government plan on doing? Just keep dishing out methadone, trying to keep up with the number of addicts? Or are we going to make doctors responsible for their prescribing practices, make prescription monitoring responsible for their claims? I mean, Dave Wilson has said it's a real-time system. Yeah, it runs 24 hours, but pharmacists are not required to enter the information for 30 days. How is that real-time?
So what is that? Are you saying that there's a gap in the reporting process, so therefore these drugs are going missing and it's difficult to keep track of why and how they've gone missing?
Well, the Auditor General pointed out last year when the report came out on prescription monitoring program that pharmacists were not required to enter the triplicate prescriptions for 30 days. So some pharmacists, they don't necessarily enter the prescription into the system as soon as it's filled. Some will do it at the end of the week. They're not required by the program for 30 days to enter it. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, how many emergency rooms, how many doctors could you seek out in 30 days? Also, they consider double doctoring three or more. So if someone's going to two doctors getting narcotics, it's not going to be flagged as a multiple prescriber notification. To me, multiple is two or more. They have it set up as three or more. There's a whole bunch of things that the Auditor General uncovered about prescription monitoring that things weren't being followed up with. There was 2,000 red flags in 56 days. They have a report come out with these red flags, which the medical consultant is supposed to go over. And in this one report, there was 2,000 instances of prescribing over the recommended threshold, so what they would consider as over-prescribing, and only 2% of those cases were followed up with, of the 2,000. And that's just in a matter of 50-some days.
What do you think of this, about, again, another, I mean, we go back to our original part of the story here with another paramedic is under investigation for theft of these drugs. How does that actually play into this? What's your thought? Do you think we're seeing more crimes of opportunity from within the profession?
Oh, definitely. I don't think it's any more. I just think maybe people are catching on and more alert to it. And I mentioned the name Glenn Levy. He is a recovering addict, and he's a former pharmacist. And he told me that he actually was manager of many pharmacies in the province, and he's been clean now for almost 2 years. And he told me he goes to caduceus meetings, which are people who are addicted in the medical community. And he said, you would not believe, he goes into, you know, this caduceus meeting, and there's hundreds of people that are affected in this province and in the Maritimes who are doctors, nurses, paramedics, who are addicted to largely, he said, prescription drugs. And if that's not, if ease of access and supply does not affect addiction, I don't know what better way to, correlate the two, that all of these medical professionals and people in the system who have ease of access and are normally not drug seekers, these people normally, you know, they're not down on Windmill Road trying to pick up illicit drugs, mm-hmm. but due to either starting a prescription, supply, ease of access, I mean, maybe they did have a history or they have genetically addiction in the genetics, but if they were not exposed to the drug to begin with, those symptoms wouldn't be brought out, you know?
Well, it's clear that certainly the addictions and the abuse of these drugs is not restricted to only the disenfranchised, as you mentioned. And Amy, look, we always appreciate hearing from you and staying on this file.
Thank you so much.
Amy Grant joining us this morning. Amy Graves. Amy Grant's the singer, isn't she? Sorry, Amy. Amy Graves from the Annapolis Valley joining us this morning.